You are back with The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. This morning on our segment, The Long View, our contributing political science editor, Neil Milner, gives us a look back at some of the striking events of this past year. Good morning, Neil.
Hi, Catherine.
So we're talking the Pew Research Center survey today.
Yes, the Pew Research Center, which is an internationally acclaimed research operation from the Pew Foundation, does surveys all over the world. And every year, at the end of the year, they pick the most significant survey findings of the year as far as they're concerned. And this year, because it's 2020, they picked 20 different ones. Not surprisingly, they're different this year from what they've been the last couple of years when I've done a segment on this, and they vary, but not by much. This is really very much COVID-driven, but it's COVID-driven in two different kinds of ways. One is certain surveys that have shown the impact of COVID itself, and the other has to do with how things that have been around for a while, like polarization and religious differences, have impacted the way people look at COVID. So this is not necessarily brand new, but the size of it is really interesting. So if you look at the impact of COVID, a few findings are really interesting, one of which is another way to see how global this pandemic is to look at the percentage of people in the world who live in countries that either had some kind of quarantine, that prevented or limited international travel, or had it all the time. 91% of the people in this world live in a place like that. So when you think about a worldwide pandemic, you can think about it in those kinds of terms. That really showed what it was. And there's some other kinds of things that are really interesting, but that helps you see the significance of the impact. Half the people in the surveys personally know someone who either died or was hospitalized because of COVID. Half the people in the survey. And when you start moving away from those kinds of direct things, you find some other interesting things. Now, because of COVID, and I'll get back to that in a second, the majority of young adults in the United States live with their parents. No comment from the parents at this moment, but let's say young adults relatively 18 to 25. 52% of young adults in the United States now live with their parents. Now, what was happening is this has been increasing over a number of years, kind of gradually, partly because of affordability of housing, all those kinds of things. In 6 months, starting in February, it jumped from 47% to 52%. In other words, a big bump just because of COVID. And almost half the people in the country say that either they were laid off or they lost their job or they knew others that were done. So what that does is, again, to reinforce what we know or what we suspected about COVID, the impact, but it does it in ways that I think are pretty compelling. And I am particularly intrigued by the movement of young adults into the houses, for example. So that's the side that speaks to COVID's impact, okay? The other part of it is how long-term factors like polarization particularly show up in people's responses to COVID. Now, the first thing to understand here about polarization is is the extent to which polarization exists. And in fact, now people who study this are not even talking about polarization anymore. They're talking about political sectarianism, and I'll explain the difference in a second. But it comes down to this. In the surveys that they've done, 80% of the Democrats think that Republicans do not share the core American values that the Democrats say. And 80% of Republicans say that the Democrats don't share the core values with them. In other words, you have high majorities of both Democratic voters and Republican voters who say essentially the other side is, in a sense, un-American. And that is another example of the movement from polarization to what gets called political sectarianism, where it's not a policy difference anymore. it's a difference in believing that the other side has decent moral values or that the other side is even human. It's like two alternative universes. So you see some of that showing up in the differences in the COVID virus responses, but now you can appreciate, now you can begin to see how it isn't just the COVID virus response. We've seen polarization on any kind of political issue over the last 5 to 10 years, and it's certainly true on COVID. From the get-go, Democrats were much more likely to see this as to see COVID as a serious issue than Republicans. Way back in April, 83% of Democratic voters saw it that way. 44% of Republican voters saw it that way. And that kind of difference has continued to exist.
Well, I think you just look at the wearing of masks, right? I mean, you look at rallies where the Republicans are at, and a lot of them aren't wearing masks or they aren't socially distanced, and you go to Democratic party rallies and it's, the opposite.
Yep, that's true.
Stark.
And if you're around Republican states and Democratic states, that's more likely to be true. I have a friend who came back to Hawaii from being in Idaho for 6 months, and he said the difference is there immediately. Now, so there are two things about that, one of which is mask wearing has become a political issue. It partly became a political issue, maybe because the president made it a political issue. But if you consider the kinds of differences that already existed on science and on the seriousness of the diseases, it was fertile territory. The other thing to understand is a word of caution about that not all mask non-wearing is manifestly political. I know, we see people all the time who just don't wear them. They're not necessarily making a big fuss about them, or maybe they're in a crowded household, they take it off, and so on. But the fundamental thing is how much now this has become another issue that dramatically changes, dramatically polarizes the issue of COVID. And one other thing that just as a word of caution or understanding, this is not something that a new president can simply turn around by talking about healing. Now, I think Joe Biden is doing a lot of good stuff and how he's rethinking the response that the national government has to have toward COVID, which I think is absolutely necessary. But remember that you're operating in this very locked-in situation where you have an effect. Very different parties thinking that way, and the Pew thing is just another indicator of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, President-elect Joe Biden is going to have to really eat a double helping of Wheaties every day because he just has some serious challenges going
yeah.
forward.
And we have to remember how deep those challenges are, that what some people call healing is really a misunderstanding and a kind of overly optimistic word about what the challenges are that the new political regime has to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the issues of QAnon, you've got the issues of Black Lives Matter that's still, simmering.
Yeah, Black Lives Matter, they picked that as another significant part of the survey, where the surveys, the extent to which people supported Black Lives Matter and the extent to which Black Lives Matter became a powerful issue that people wanted to lower about. It set records. The phrase Black Lives Matter set, according to the polls that I'm talking about here, set a record for the most hits on Twitter. And so you have that kind of stuff. And QAnon, which is, a very odd conspiratorial theory organization, half the Republicans who knew about it thought it was okay and half did not. And that's very different from how Democrats and independents responded to what they thought QAnon was. Both of those groups were much more negative.
Right. So if 2020 was bad, 2021 will be interesting.
It will be an adventure for sure.
All right. Okay. Thanks so much, Neil.
You're welcome. Take care.
That was political scientist Neil Milner, contributing editor of our biweekly segment, The Long View, here on Hawaii Public Radio.